Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders. Thanks to our friends over at Band of Coders for sponsoring the show. We've got a great show for you today. We got two great guests here in the studio with me today. Later in the show, we're going to be talking with Business Radio X alum Kurt Euler, CEO and co-founder of SideQuick, and see how they are doing over there. But first up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we're going to be talking with Tony Lin, the Chief Startup Officer and Chief Technology Officer of Red Tree Labs. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And glad War Eagle.
Oh, War Eagle. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about Red Tree Labs and your sort of your backstory, how you got into all this.
Oh, how did I get into all this? Well, Red Tree Labs itself is a software consultancy that about last October came to me and said, hey, we need a Chief Technology Officer. We need someone to come in and increase our activity a little bit. And I said, well, the only way I'm really willing to do that is if I can kind of focus on startups again.
Okay.
My career, I've had there's some debate as to how many, but Red Tree Labs would be my sixth startup that we're counting. There's a couple in there we're not going to count.
you just put them off the side. Those were learning experiments, right?
Well, yeah, something like that. I actually came to Atlanta back in 1998 to work for a company called Endeavor Technologies that was later spun out a bit of their company called Quality Diagnostic Services to Matria and became WebMD the next day.
Okay.
So was there a long, long time ago. But prior to that, I'd already been involved with two startups before I ever came to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Pensacola, Florida, that actually kind of got my
your entrepreneurial spirit sort of going?
Well, I had it right out of college.
Okay.
And, the things that we produced out of college are the ones we don't count.
I'm not going to go work. I got this. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Very easy.
Well, you keep thinking that, and you keep trying. So some have been more successful than others. But frankly, when I came to Atlanta, things changed dramatically. WebMD was certainly a success story. It's still today. Although at the time, I didn't think they would survive. It's kind of that's funny, right? But from there, I went to a company called eTor, which crashed and burned. Although some would say it was successful because our chief marketing officer is now the vice president of, CBS Interactive now.
It's funny how those things work.
Yeah, he was made of Teflon is all I can say. He survived the day. But in those time frames, I've been involved with several startups. The last one I was actually involved with was a 16-year startup.
Okay.
Just complete failure to launch over and over and over again. So with Red Tree, what I wanted to do is be able to come in and actually kind of give back to the community a little bit, start to become involved in the thing that was really exciting. You know, startups, there's nothing like a startup.
Definitely. It's addicting.
It is addicting. The energy, the spontaneity of it, the whole nine yards. And so with Red Tree, they let me kind of drive what we're calling startup as a service.
Okay.
So basically an ability to come in and start helping startups figure out, particularly if they don't have technology. Startups typically have one or two things. Either they have a strong technology founder and they don't need me, or they have a strong marketing/business person with no clue what to do when it comes to technology. So we can help them guide them. We can either be a mentor. We can help build it for them. But really, we're just there to try to figure out how we get them to be successful and then eventually get out of their way.
Well, and definitely, too. And if they outgrow you or different things, I'm sure you have a network of people that you can guide them to, right?
Well, I guess the good and bad thing is that being in Atlanta for 15 plus years is I've hired and fired quite a bit of people, and you keep a pretty strong network of people you can go to that either fit culturally or technically for what someone may want to do. And it's kind of easy to help transition into something that would be a little more successful.
So what do you find more interesting, the ones that are technology-based and they're just coming for maybe business sense, or the ones that are going towards more technology, that they need the technology use?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't think that there's a way to categorize either one of those as being more palatable versus the other. In a lot of cases, really it just comes down to what is the exciting thing at the day. And sometimes it's business-based, sometimes it's technology-based. we get real excited when something makes us go, oh, wow. And, you know, that's hard to do. You know, you've been around as long as I have been, but it still happens. So that's great.
Well, also, startups are so exciting. People have great ideas and everything. But development of these, especially these technology-based ideas, everyone wants to create an app or a new kind of website or something. The development side, if you get paired with the wrong developer, it can really take you down a horrible path.
Well, that's a brilliant observation. I've got a gentleman I'm working with right now over at ATV. He did everything out of Ukraine. So he didn't even do anything locally. Went out there, and now he's decided that, you know, he needs to have it close by. And his challenge is that he hires one person, he hires the wrong person, then, you know, that's hard. It's a detriment to his future progress.
Well, definitely. Even when you hire the right person on, they have to go back through all the old code. People don't realize that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of kind of gotchas there, and really, I would almost prefer to be there from the inception stage, so I can help mentor
ideation
and guide.
Stage.
Yeah, exactly. And I get a lot of those. Although I spend a lot of time in coffee shops with someone with a 2-inch thick notebook of ideas that are going to make $1 million, and you know, I have to bring them down to reality in a lot of cases and go, well, pick one of those ideas, but all of those are not going to do you any good.
Oh, definitely, too. And I mean, you can ask anyone. You can take someone off the street. Everyone has a great idea, but it's really if you have the follow through and starting a startup, it's a lot of work. It's bubbling it down to the problem and then finding out if someone can pay you for that. So many people have cool ideas and like, this would be great. And you're like, well, how are you going to make money off of that?
Well, you got a point. And even the coolest idea doesn't necessarily sell. Going back to my WebMD days is that even though we had what we thought was a really cool idea, ours wasn't selling. It wasn't selling until the point they merged with a company called Healthion. And Healthion was all about technology and wasn't sexy at all, but it sold like crazy.
Yeah.
And so it really, you got to have the right mix. And finding that right mix is not a science. It's all an art form.
So do you find it difficult when these people are coming in here and they're like, well, Snapchat got offered $3 billion and they don't make any money. And, you know, Facebook, and they're talking about all these social media stuff that people are picking up for billions of dollars aren't making any money.
Well, I have run across a few that are like, well, I don't need a business model because
Google.
Well, right. Somebody's just going to pay me $1 billion for this thing because I've got eyeballs. I'm like, well, that might happen and it might not. But you better start thinking about a business model regardless.
Definitely. Well, I'm sure you have some cool success stories from when you've been doing this. Can you talk about any of them? Or
sure.
You don't have to give any names if you're not allowed to.
Oh, I don't know. We'll find out after this, I guess. I guess the coolest story itself was my first one. The first one that really was successful was started out of my living room down in Pensacola, Florida. And me and a buddy decided we were going to start software development and bought a 56K line into it. You know, couldn't afford a T1 at the time. And we went off like gangbusters. We were making money hand over fist, literally in a 2-bedroom apartment, just 15 minutes from the beach. And, you know, in hindsight, I'd still be there doing that if I really would have been smart. But from that, it actually started the whole process. So from that, I sold it off to Pensacola Internet, and then Pensacola Internet spawned the next one, and then ended up getting headhunted and coming to WebMD. So really, I kind of look at it as the first one was the domino that started the entire progression. The startups themselves, the one I had the most fun at was at eTor.
Okay.
We literally worked 60, 80 hours a week. We started out in a old abandoned warehouse down in the Highlands. Wonderful place, except for there were some illicit activities happening in the parking lot at night, which, you know, we almost started a different program or different company based off of that. Yeah,
I love it.
And then we ended up going from there to a two-story, two floors down at the Marriott Marquis in downtown. And one half of one floor was a game room. It was just an amazing experience, you know, that I'll never have again, because when the money ran out, they fired the goldfish, and we knew we were all out the door after that.
Definitely. Well, what advice would you give to someone that thinks they want to be an entrepreneur and they want to start up a business? Because it sounds all glamorous. I mean, we're getting HBO shows about it now, and it's becoming a hobby for some people. People are like, oh, I don't need to go to school. I'm going to go be an entrepreneur, and I'm going to start my own business.
The only advice I can give is do it. Just do it. You're never going to know if you've got the right mix or not until you stick your neck out, that you give it an opportunity. But be willing to give it your all. Don't think you're going to phone it in. Don't think you're going to be able to.
I've got a couple hours here and there, and
you have to commit to it, and you have to be prepared that it could be as successful as it could be a failure. But you have to be willing to put that into it, and even if it's a failure, you learn for the next one. And like you said before, it's addictive. Once you start, can't stop.
Well, I think that's a good point you bring out, that you learn from everyone. And I bet anyone that started a business, for the most time, you hear stories about, again, their failures come before that big success that everyone knows them for.
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned more from the things that I did wrong than from what I did right.
Definitely. So what do you guys need more of over there at Red Tree? Do you need more a bigger developer pool? Do you need more startups coming to you guys, or are you guys happy where you're at? Or
well, the good and bad about the startup as a service is that one of the things we try to do is we try to offset development costs for startups for a future date. You know, try to help them get started, but you can't do too many of that because then you can't afford to pay the people who
Definitely.
Are doing the work. So really, what we need most of is the bread and butter stuff that, you know, continues to help pay for. I'm not going to say my hobby, but certainly the thing that I'm interested in most. And we're continuing to grow. So the company has already grown 100% year over year, and we don't see that growth stopping. But developers, marketing people, pretty much anything that as we grow, you know, we're going to need. But startups.
So is that all in-house, your marketing and your developers, or do you actually have people that you have trusted partners?
Well, one of the things we do is, so we're a little bit different than typical software consultancies. So I don't go out and hire a whole bunch of people. Everybody that is on the bench is 1099.
Okay.
And we do that for a couple of reasons. One is that developers as a whole want the cool stuff. You
Definitely.
Know, there's not a developer out there that wants to just go and do SharePoint development. You know, they want to, they want the mobile apps. They want this. They want that. Whatever. So we've actually cultivated a bit of what we call the bench of people who really want that cool, sexy kind of development. And when it comes along, we call them up. They jump in and get it done. And also with the 1099, we actually can afford to pay a little bit better than what we would do if we were doing just pure employment, just because of
all the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to blame any government official or anything, but you know what I mean. It actually makes it a little bit more palatable for someone, and they can jump in, maybe work for a month or two, or maybe do part time, and still get some really really cool stuff out the door. And then we kind of hook them at the same time.
Okay, definitely.
Because then they want more.
Well, it's nice to have that. And you have that flow of the regular work, too, that I bet there's some people that are just stoked just to pick it off. They're like, well, I don't need the cool fancy stuff. I need some bread and butter stuff, too.
Right. And you know, we've been pushed. We were doing mostly project work up until just recently. And we literally just, within the past 2 days, opened up a portion of the company that is just focused on staff augmentation. And it, what we found is that in Atlanta particularly is that everybody wants a developer and nobody can find one.
Definitely.
And, you know, so there's a huge shortage right now. And if we can bring in some really top players and maybe, you know, fill some gaps for them. But, I mean, we do like the sexy stuff, but we do have some people on the team that they're happy just, you know, going in and helping solve problems.
Definitely. So what's next for you guys? What's on the horizon for 2014?
2014. That's a good question. We've got a couple of real big startups that, as soon as we can manipulate and get to the funding stage, will consume a good part of the company. We're excited for that. It's some really cool stuff. But we've also got some internal projects we're working on that hopefully we get out the door. Problem with an internal project is that when do you have time to do it?
Exactly. You have to. Everything else takes precedent, right?
Absolutely.
So how do our listeners reach out if they want to learn more, if they're either a startup that wants to get with you guys, if they want to work on if they're a bigger company wants to work on a project, or if they're developers that want work?
They can always reach me, tony@redtreelabs.com. You can go to our website, www.redtreelabs.com, or find us on Facebook, Twitter. We're pretty much anywhere that's out there. I'm often seen at either startup events, spend a lot of time at the ASV ATV down in Buckhead, do a lot of tag events, and I always wear a white lab coat.
Okay, so that's how they know you.
That's how they know me, yes.
All right, well, thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, I have Kurt Euler with Sidekick, and I mispronounced that. I said Sidequake. He's been in the studio so many times, and I still butchered him, and I always butcher someone something every show, but welcome back.
Happy to be here.
Definitely. Well, tell me what's going on. You didn't bring the dinosaurs or an alligator you today.
I didn't bring an alligator with me today.
Definitely. So...
future trip, maybe.
Yes, definitely. We need one just in the studio just to have him look over everyone, make sure we're doing a good job. So tell me what you guys have been up to. I love Sidekick. What's going on? I mean, I think it's been about a year since you've been back in the studio.
Probably about a year. I think we've actually renamed the company to Sidekick since then. But we've been growing. So the team's been expanding, and we've been actually helping a lot of our customers with some fun things that we get to kind of piggyback on and live vicariously through some of them. So
that's definitely cool. Well, tell our listeners out there what you guys do over at Sidekick.
So Sidekick, we provide a technology platform for marketers that helps them with their marketing partnerships. Whenever you see, say, Dick's Sporting Goods and Nike running a marketing campaign where one is talking about the other, it's brutally painful for them to do.
I can imagine.
And it's literally like a VP or director picking up the phone, calling their peer, and you know, collaborating and working on things from there. We reduce their time to a fraction of that and let them kind of get the ROI of individual partners.
That's huge right there. I'm sure you guys have had I bet you've expanded your customer base a lot, but that's a huge pain point for a lot of these companies.
Yeah, we've expanded a good bit over the last year. Definitely bring on the team, but customers across the board. So,
well, can you talk about a little bit of the people that you're serving? I know you guys have some big companies on board, right?
We list a lot of them on the website as well. So we tend to help consumer companies more than B2B companies. And a lot of companies like, or even cause-based organizations like the Made in America movement uses us to manage everything they do with their members. So they'll partner with people like Zippo Lighters. And then, you know, we work with a good bit of other companies, including like Hansgrohe, great shower heads.
Yeah.
So, but we work with tons of brands like that, and so we always have fun seeing what they're doing with others. So we've developed kind of a density within the gaming space as well.
Okay,
so,
really.
If you ever need to stay awake, I mean, 5-hour energy is okay, but G Fuel by Gamma Labs.
A lot better.
Oh, it will change your life.
I don't know about anyone else, but 5-hour energy has never worked for me. It just tastes a little nasty, and I was always a Red Bull guy back in the day. So
Gamma Labs has a peach mango. You'll work for like 6 hours straight.
And it tastes good. It sounds like it tastes good.
It's awesome.
So walk me just through the customer engagement, how this platform just connects all the dots together.
Yeah, so our customers, they usually know their partners already. We can help them figure that out. Any big brand, you know, gets a lot of requests.
It's a bigger problem if they don't know who their partners are.
Yeah. So they know who they want to work with, and if it's something as simple as like a giveaway, rather than picking up the phone and calling the other person, they'll log in our system, almost like you would like a MailChimp, like your email service provider, set up what, in the case of a giveaway, a simple giveaway could look like, suggested content for the individual partners. Walk through every little piece that, you know, the engagement that goes out to both audiences would be what happens on Facebook, Twitter is an example.
Yeah.
And then when they invite their partners to that, if their partners have any questions, Sidekick's platform helps them with that. But we basically onboard customizing the content for them. Our customers don't have to worry about that. They can see anything that comes back. And at the end, they basically can see, wow, Zippo actually did exactly what they said they were going to do. Which hasn't historically happened usually with brands because the marketers get busy.
Well, yeah, definitely. And they don't have the time for you pick up the phone call, hey, you want to work together, work out? They say yes, and then they forget about it because they're doing something else.
Yeah. Everyone always kind of talks at, you know, at the conferences, you know, it's like paid, owned, and earned advertising. But that really doesn't mean anything for you, you know, once you have somebody. And it's really more like activating your audience, paying for access to someone else's audience with ads, and it's the reason Google exists. There's a lot of money in that.
But definitely.
Every marketer is doing these marketing partnerships, and we just make it easier for them.
Well, and I think the ROI is great, and you're capturing the analytics behind it too, which is huge to take it back to the people that are funding this and say, hey, here you can see all the analytics. You can see this is why it worked. This is how much traffic you got here and there, and they can really track it back down to the dollars.
Yeah, they can. And not only just tracking back to the dollars, they can track it back to like what's successful with what partners. So one of our customers is Control Freak, another Atlanta-based company.
Yeah.
They sell video game accessories for like high-end precision gamers. And they've been on board for actually before we were fully commercial and have since renewed for 2 years, which we love them. But they know how to just really just use the system to it's kind of the utmost. And their partnerships originally were good, but they've seen which partners work better and what types of content now. And so they keep re-engaging those partners with what exactly works for each of them individually. Mm-hmm. And their growth has skyrocketed over the last couple of years.
And you can see what partners are pulling weight, I would imagine, in this kind of system. So you can see, well, you know what? They're not doing what they said they were going to do, and this is a lopsided partnership, and they can sort of optimize that.
They can. And you can also prove back to, I mean, unless you do things one-on-one without using Sidekick, or unless you build something custom, you can never know what the real results are for you or your partner. And now they're able to go back, no matter how many partners they work with, and when they reach out to somebody new and say, hey, you want to do something, you know, in June, they can say what the benefit was to somebody before.
Definitely. You guys are solving so many problems over there, and you're making it easy. The ROI on time as well as money, it seems like a no-brainer.
And I think so. So, I mean, our biggest thing has actually just been meeting more consumer brands so that, you know, we can kind of tell them about Sidekick. But, I mean, it is so much easier, but it's also some degree – We're replacing grunt work, which those like directors and VPs of marketing shouldn't be doing anyways.
Yeah.
Naming a company Sidekick, I mean, I'm a huge superhero fan. I always have been. If it's an animated or full featured film, I've watched it. And everybody wants to be Batman, but nobody wants to be Robin. But the Batmobile has to shine. So we joke as Sidekicks, our job is to make you Batman. We're going to make you a superhero.
I love that too. And you bring up a really good point is this does become grunt work and it just gets passed down the pipeline until you have someone that has no emotional interest or any understanding of the value of it, punching in different stuff and making these relationships happen. So you guys take that out of the way. You're helping people make money and you're also helping people connect and leverage their partners.
Yeah. And, you know, we give them back the time to do what they do best.
Yeah.
You know, they know the partners to work with. They know the strategy. They know how to, you know, once you give them the analytics to adjust their marketing mix. And if they're not having to worry about coordinating with their partners and saying, hey, you promised you were going to post on Thursday and Friday about this, but you didn't. Well, they can focus on actually doing stuff that, you know, that moves the needle and let us take the step of making sure all the details happen.
Well, what's coming up next in 2014? Are you guys still considered a startup? I know you were a year ago, but now you guys are sort of becoming just a big player in the game, it seems like. You're making a market, actually, really.
Yeah, we are making a market. I would still consider us a startup, and to some degree, you know, you're always growing. So, you know, we've taken companies public before. We've had some good exits, but we're still rather early. We're a lean team right now with a large number of interns. We continue to give opportunities to people at Georgia Tech and Georgia State and a few UGA people, which is great. But I'd consider us a startup still, for nothing else, the way we approach our business.
Well, talk about that. What do you guys need more of? You mentioned interns, and this seems like to be such a great experience. We were talking about it earlier in the show about people, if they actually want to be part of a startup, but getting to sort of get in the mix and learn on someone else's dime seems like a big thing, and they'll learn a lot from working for you guys, wouldn't they?
I think so. I mean, in some cases, we do have full-time positions if somebody's worked out and they're kind of, you know, 90 to 120-day period, but I really view interns as more of a mentorship.
Yeah.
I mentor with Ty Atlanta, both down at Flashpoint as well with Georgia Tech, and David Cummings, Atlanta Ventures. So we kind of take that same approach, but a deeper involvement if you come on a Sidekick. If you're working in marketing, you actually work directly with me. And then I usually have like one shadow as well that gets to see what the CEO kind of experiences. If you work in sales, you work with Tremaine directly. He has a very specific plan that like you'll learn what it's like to be a BD person, which may mean that you decide you don't want to be a salesperson when you grow up.
That happens a lot. I've seen that a lot. People get into the sales world and it sounds glamorous, but then they're like, well, this is too much work.
Yeah. But just as I mentioned, we like making, you know, our customers be superheroes. I mean, interns are the same way. We had a guy named Jose who came on from University of Georgia. His dream job once he graduated was to go work for McKinsey. He's from Costa Rica. There's only a few positions with McKinsey, you know, in South America there. Yeah. And he got his exact job he was looking for. I mean, he rocked it for us. And like we threw actually a party for him when he got his offer from McKinsey.
That's awesome.
We're like, we helped get you there, and we're so happy about that. Plus, I have a place to visit now.
Well, that's huge, too. And that's good, practical. Any interns listening or wanting to intern for a startup, hey, go for it, intern, learn, and you won't be just getting coffee for people. So.
Yeah.
But Sidekick. So how do our listeners reach out if there's any companies that sort of want to leverage their partners and get those analytics, which I don't know why they wouldn't. How do they reach out and sign up for that?
So we're easy to find on site, on our website, sidekick.com, Sideqik.
Yep.
Or you can find us on Twitter, Team Sidekick, again, SIDEQIK. Or I'm really big on Twitter myself. You've met my wife on Twitter. So, you know, you can find me.
That's Kurt a success Euler, story right there. Twitter should pay you for that. So I can see you in the next commercial. I met my wife on Twitter.
I get free coffee when I go to their office. I think that's their payment. And Valerie's a pretty good payment. So
exactly. Well, thank you guys both for coming on and sharing your stories with us today. All right, well, this is Kevin Finn for our guest today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.